This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. I actually behaved myself today, and I was going to get all kinds of candy and have everybody, whenever you say the word Haman in the Jewish tradition, you're supposed to throw candy at people, because remember the second part of the reading was about to have a big feast. But I thought maybe St. Joe's isn't ready for that yet. What do you think? Were you ready for that? Yes. It's early. Okay, next time, I promise, when we do Haman. And you're supposed to go, ooh, when she reads Haman. Haman! Ooh. Oh, good. Definitely. Definitely we'll have to do that. But I decided to preach on something different. And I'm here to tell you I'm not preaching on hell. Okay? Is that good with everybody? Good. Excellent. Because Mother Mary Ellen likes to stay away from that topic. Not always, but, you know, let's just avoid that this morning. So let us pray. And this is one of my favorite prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. And most people don't even know it's in there. It's under the healing, the sacrament of anointing. So let us pray in the morning. This is another day, O Lord. I know not what it will bring forth, but make me ready, Lord, for whatever it may be. If I am to stand up, help me stand bravely. If I am to sit still, help me to sit quietly. If I am to lie low, help me to do it patiently. And if I am to do nothing, let me do it gallantly. Make these words more than words and give me the Spirit of Jesus. And they all said, amen. So today I like to have a focus on my sermons of the question. So my question today for you to ponder this week is, what part of God's expansive love are you blocking? What part of God's expansive love are you blocking? As I was reading the Gospel of Mark and the letter of James, I think a lot of them are, these stories are related to the healing ministry of Jesus. And I came up with 5 points about his healing ministry that I think we need to consider. First of all, Jesus connects the holy to the common. For some reason, I think we think the holy is untouchable, but it's right in front of us, the common. The second thing is, evil spirits have a role in disease. Evil spirits have a role in disease. The third is that Jesus is a rebel. You all get that, right? He's definitely a rebel. In fact, he even does healing on the Sabbath, which really annoys the Pharisees, and he gets in big trouble for that. And that kind of is connected to the next one. He questions existent traditions. He questions existent traditions. And I think that's really important right now. How do we as a people ask questions about what we do and how we do it? It's really important to think about that. I'm going to go off target for a minute and say, did you ever hear the story of the woman that always cut the end of the roast off to put it in the pan? And they had the bigger pan, right? And she still cut it off, and they said, why are you cutting off the end? Well, that's the way we always did it. And they said, well, but you're wasting all that meat. So really, go back and figure out why we're doing things. I think that's important, and that's what Jesus asked us. And that there are contradictions in people's beliefs. Many people know that over the centuries, healing ministry has been hidden. It got hidden. People thought it was hocus pocus, and they didn't feel comfortable about it. So they actually took it out, because very large part in the early church, it was all about healing. And I think when you anoint with oil and you're being open to your vulnerability and the transcendent power of God, it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. And obviously, the transcendent power of God makes us feel small. But all you have to do is turn on your computer and go look at stuff on the universe the multiverse, and you'll realize just how small we are. And yet, we're so loved. We are so loved. I would offer to each of you to go back and go through the sacrament of anointing in the Book of Common Prayer. It's really interesting because it's entwined with the sacrament of reconciliation. So it's very clear to me that we're supposed to release our feelings of failure, shame, and unworthiness. As an old teacher, I remember I had this exercise for students, and I would say, make a list of 10 things you don't like about yourself. And they would go on and on and on and on and on, come up with 50. And then I would say to the students, okay, now make a list of 10 that you really like about yourself. They couldn't do it. So I would ask you to go think about what you like about yourself. Make a list. And if you can't come up with anything, ask somebody you love. Hopefully they'll be nice. But really, it's important for us to also get rid of that shame, get rid of the failure and the unworthiness, and to give our fears to God and feel the enormous grace of Jesus. There's a woman I listen to on her podcast quite frequently for over 20 years. Her name's Carolyn Mace, and she believes, she's a medical intuit, by the way. She believes she can read disease in people. And she says that we cling on to our wounds and we create our identity around them because we refuse to let go of the past. And she believes that, this is hard for me to swallow, but she believes that being well is something that we really are uneasy with because we have to give up control and we have to follow discipline. For some reason, discipline has gotten a bad rap, but discipline can also make you an Olympic winner, right? Right? Absolutely. So there's good things about discipline. I did my clinical pastoral work up at Baltimore, and it was at Johns Hopkins Medical Center. I think you've all heard of that. It's one of the number one hospitals in the world, and it's always rated, I think, with Mayo Clinic. They go back and forth. Anyway, I had an extraordinary experience there. And on, I think it was on Fridays, we would go in and hear the research they were doing there. We had different people that were getting their doctorates would talk to us about their research. And one of them that was really interesting was on the power of prayer. And you do know that scientifically, prayer is efficacious. You all do know that. Okay, and I hope you believe it. It works. Prayer works. It works if you have a positive attitude. And then the next week, they had this guy come in, and he said, guess what? If you have negative views, does that affect your health? Absolutely. So if you're sitting there saying to yourself, oh, boy, did I deserve this disease. I'm really just a terrible person, and I shouldn't have done what I did, and I had this bad life, and da da da. He said, that's really bad for you, and you can prevent yourself from healing. And actually, your disease can get worse. And he was very adamant about that. So I think the impact of our thoughts about our bodies and about God are huge. It's not okay for us to say that God is punishing us. It is not. There are healing heroes. And number one at the top of my list is Jesus. Right? He's an incredible healer, and you see him going from town to town and making these incredible changes in people's lives. Mary Magdalene is another one, an incredible healer. I don't know if you've heard of Francis and Judith McNutt. I think Francis has passed on. Just an incredible couple that went around and really tried to revisit healing and bring it back into focus in the church. And then my favorite, Agnes Sanford. Has anybody in here heard of Agnes Sanford? I'm sad because, you know, we always hear about mass murderers, but we don't hear about this great healer, Agnes Sanford, who believed that in the healing light, that there was this healing light that Jesus gave us that we could share with other people and heal. I'm happy to announce that the Chapel of St. Andrew is going to have, in Boca, is going to have a healing workshop on Saturday, November 2nd from 9 to 3. And the Reverend Tara Shepley, she's the wife of the rector of St. Mary's, and she is the executive director of the Healing Center in Martin County. She's going to be presenting that workshop, and I think it's going to be really worthwhile, and I'm planning on attending it. I have a fascination with this, and it's very important to me. Also, I was reading Rachel Carson. She was an old naturalist, and she said, there's something infinitely healing in the repeated refrains of nature, the assurance that dawn comes after night and spring after winter. Now, I think you all know I'm a native Miamian. So one year, I was at Virginia Theological Seminary, and I experienced all of the seasons. And I will never forget the day that I walked out of my sister's house in Baltimore, and I saw spring popping. How many of you have seen that? Isn't it a miracle? It's so cool. That's resurrection. It just pops. And I just said to my sister, wow. She said, yeah, get over it. You're a Miami girl. You don't understand this. But I do, and it was just so amazing. So if you don't believe in healing, just look at nature. Just look at nature. The other thing I would recommend to you that I did that was really valuable is the Order of St. Luke. I don't know if anybody in here has done the Order of St. Luke, but St. Luke, good, excellent. St. Luke, they take the 26 healing miracles of Jesus, and you study them intently, and they put the stories that are from the same story, and they present them together. And then they have John over here, because John is so different. But it's really good. And what you do is you identify the person in need, what's the obvious need, who initiates the healing, what's the action. Here's the most important thing, the expression of faith. Because in all of these healing miracles, what does Jesus say to them? Your faith has made you. Your faith has made you well. And then, as I used to tell my students, and I will tell you all, he also says, go and don't do it anymore. People always forget that part, don't you think? They forget that part. So, yes, your faith has made you well. And what I love about Jesus is he never wavers in that faith. Maybe towards the end he does, but he never wavers. He's so grounded in this faith of God to know that God's going to be there. And then you see the evidence of healing and the reactions and what leads Jesus to it. It's very important because I think all of us need to recognize that Jesus doesn't say we're not going to suffer. I'm really sad to tell you this, but suffering is part of the human experience. It's an existential fact. It's going to happen. All of us are going to suffer. But I believe that Jesus will always be with us in our suffering. He never leaves us. He's also with us in our health, too. I also think that the answer is, how do we respond to that suffering? How do we go to that suffering and say, okay, I could either whack this way or this way? And it's quite amazing the choices that we make create our life. So how do we support each other? Because I really also believe that when people are suffering the most, the only way you get through it is by helping each other and not asking stupid questions or making stupid theological statements like, oh, wow, you know, I guess God wanted that baby with God. No, we don't say that. We are present with people, right? Does everybody agree? You're present with them when they're suffering. Because let's all face it, suffering is a paradox. We're not really sure why we suffer, but we do. I wonder why, when I look in the mirror, I don't know who that person is, because I'm getting old, right? So we have these paradoxes, these quandaries. One thing I was listening to this week, this podcast, it said, we're often in our minds, and Mary Ellen is often in my mind, and it leads us to worrying about the future or stewing over the past. And we've talked about that before. If you hold on to the past, you get depressed. If you look into the future too much, you get anxious. And so what do we need to do? We need to be in our bodies. This is really underrated for me. I need to be more exercising, more into my body, feeling myself. Because when you're in your body, you're in the present. Does that make sense? And so how do we stay in that present? I would like to ask you some questions, not to be answered, but to think about my existential questions about healing. First of all, there's a big difference between healing and curing. So what is it? That's something to think about. I think that being whole is the goal of healing. Number two, why do some people get ill and others do not? I'm not telling you to do this, but my father-in-law drank and smoked, and he lived to be a ripe old age, and he would have lit one cigarette with another and had some kind of a French wine in his hand. I mean, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying, I said to my husband one time, what's up with that? You know, do you all agree with me? That's a problem. It's not a problem. It's just the way life is. We just don't know. We don't know. Why does Jesus heal some people and not others? That's very present in The Chosen. That's a very good quandary in The Chosen, because his disciples are really confused about who he brings back to life and who he doesn't, and they don't know. And Jesus really is suffering over that. He's thinks to himself, wow, this is rough for them. And I'd like to know if illness is caused by the environment, genetics, attitude, contagion, any of those things. So how does faith impact healing? I'd like to know that too more. I know it does, but how does it do it? What parts of our life do we need to address when we're ill? What parts of our life do we need to address when we're well? Why do we take health and wellness for granted? Here's a big one. I think his name's Atul Gawande, and I'm trying to remember. He's a Harvard professor, and he wants to know, why is it that Americans don't accept death? Why is it that they don't think we're going to die? Why is it that they struggle with it and they want to keep somebody, even if they're suffering, alive for as long as possible? Why? Why? And when is it time to accept it and stop the extraordinary measures? And then what are some of the solutions to healing that are right in front of us? I would say the nature. Have you all heard of forest bathing? No? So you go out there, some of you have, you go out there and you're with nature and you just let it be. Music and the arts. Thank you, David. Let's have a round of applause for David. And the choir, who brings us such amazing music. I was just listening to Francis Collins being interviewed, and he was the head of the National Institutes of Health, and they were asking him, what is it that you're most interested in getting into next? And he said music therapy, because we know music helps people. And it was really an interesting conversation. How about exercising, relaxing, surrounding ourselves with positive people? Well, you're all here, so everybody's here positive, right? We all got a positive attitude here. And being grateful and avoiding toxic situations. And here's the one that I have the most difficulty with, letting go. Letting go. It's essential to healing. Letting go of situations you couldn't control. Let it go. Sounds easier to me than to say it than to do it. We're so fortunate here at St. Joseph's. We have healing ministers who anoint. We have the anointing during the 5 p.m. We have during the unplugged. And then today we have the Daughters of the King, which will pray for you. I'm really grateful to those people who are going to start on October 16th, the health ministry. We have incredible professionals here that are going to come together and come up with our health ministry. We have the ability to help others heal. Our bodies are amazing at ensuring that we heal if we take care of them and if we listen to them and we live in a healthy manner that promotes wellness. And it's not easy, because let me just tell you, yesterday I went to have a conversation with a medical person, and they gave me a whole new nutrition thing, totally different than I thought was healthy. So I get confused with these things. So you just have to keep plugging away with it and talking about it. And I also would like to do a shout out for the gift of science. Because, you know, in the tradition of the Episcopal Church, we have scripture, tradition, and reason, right? That's what our foundation is. Scripture, tradition, and reason. And that reason is science. And if you're around hospitals, you'll know it's amazing how science changes so quickly through data, through facts, and gets better and better and better. People, I remember having a dear friend of mine who passed away from cancer, and the oncologist was at St. Thomas, and she said to me, you do know if she had lived five more years, we could have stopped it. We could have cured it. So it's always getting better, getting better. So let us pray to Jesus for each of our healing and wholeness. And I'd like to end with a healing prayer, the Jesus prayer. So the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, let your healing flow down upon me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, let your healing spring up within me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, let your healing love enfold me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, let your healing power flow through me. And they all said, Amen.